Well, good morning. This is very strange speaking to a camera this morning and not to our friends at St George's, but I'm still speaking to our friends at St George's and maybe further afield too. So welcome. My name's Andy Livingston. I'm Associate Minister at St George's Church in Poynton. Strange times at the moment, aren't they? Strange times that we're living through. I guess there must be so many clean cars and so many neat and tidy gardens at the moment. But in strange things and strange times, the thing to do is to pray. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we're able to meet in this way with the technology we have. We pray, Father, as we look at your word, you would guide our thoughts, that you would challenge who we are, that we might walk more closely with you day by day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you've got your Bibles open. We're in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. I haven't the page number this week. You've got that for yourself. So it's Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And last week, Aled took us through the section before this, if you remember, which said, "Blessed are you if." This was how we live the life of blessing, as opposed to the life of looking after number one. And Jesus, he never sugarcoats things, does he? Living for him is often fraught with all manner of dangers. Possible poverty, hunger, weeping, being laughed at or ridiculed for what we believe or for following Jesus. But in a strange way, the way to blessing, following Jesus, the way to blessing is following him. And it's tough. But oh, what a wonderful life to live. His blessings, even in the muck of life. So what Jesus does now in verse 27 is address his listeners. He challenges them. But you who are listening, I say. But are they really listening? Or are they just bystanders come to see a spectacle? There, but not there, if you see what I mean, not listening. Well, I don't know if you've been watching the daily news briefings by the Prime Minister along with the CMO and the Chief Scientific Advisor. I actually think they've been really good. And those medics, those scientific experts, Professor Chris Whitty and Sir Patrick Vallance, are so clear and so calm. And they answer the questions so well. And then you get the questions from the mainstream media in the Q&A session. And they ask the same questions which have already been answered. And you wonder, where have they been? Did they even listen at all? And Professor Whitty and Sir Patrick have been nothing but calm and gracious and polite under the poor questioning and poor listening. And they politely say, "I refer you to my previous answer." I think that's code for, "Weren't you listening?" Well, Jesus calls people to listen and to listen really carefully. The thing is, are we? And now is the time to listen to Jesus, because our times are very disturbing and very unsettling at the moment and feel pretty scary, especially for those who are on the front line. And many of you hearing this morning are on that front line. And all of a sudden, the rest of us realise just how big the front line is, with our doctors, our nurses, our care workers, our physios, our cleaners, our supermarket and shop workers and so many more, who are all putting themselves in difficult situations in order that we can all get through this. And we're so grateful, aren't we? And we're concerned too, So are we listening? Says Jesus. He now sets out how we are to live lives to please God. Not to get in his good books or to gain brownie points for heaven. No, that's not Christianity. That's another religion altogether. We live lives to please God in gratitude for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And our holy God is the one who showers all people, the good, the bad, and the ugly, with his good gifts, much of them we take for granted, perhaps until a crisis like this arrives. So living our lives in response to his great love is what we should do. And what Jesus does is he raises the bar. He raises the bar from an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth to verse 27. Can you see it in your Bibles? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Lend. Be merciful. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Release. Give. The thread running through these challenges on how we're to live are based on a couple of principles. The first one is how Jesus' followers are to behave. To behave in ways which are different to the prevailing behaviour we've seen recently, the panic buying, the mass congregating when we've been told not to. To behave with generosity and grace to others. Not just to those that we agree with, but to those we profoundly disagree with. Our enemies, says Jesus. Well, the Twitter sphere is awash with people who think the same. It's a kind of echo chamber with one way of thought. And to be honest, some of it is just absolutely vile. Jesus says stop to that groupthink. What's so special about agreeing with people who agree with you? Anyone can do that. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. And he challenges us, doesn't he? And boy, it's a challenge. He challenges us to love those who are difficult. Love those who are different from us, who may be considered to be our enemies, our oppressors or robbers, and show violence, and do good to them. You might be thinking like me, but that isn't just hard, it seems impossible. And this piece of plastic makes not a jot of difference there. So let's just park that thought, shall we? Not me and my plastic dog collar, but the seeming impossibility of this type of action. So firstly, Jesus calls his followers to behave differently and radically differently at that. Secondly, he calls his followers to demonstrate God's character. We touched on that briefly a minute ago. You see, our Heavenly Father is just, and he wants to see justice. But so much more than that, he's merciful too. And so we as his children must also be merciful. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So it's not about rule following. It's not about screaming for justice, though that is important, justice, not just making a noise about it. It's not about spotting the speck in our brother's eye when we have a plank in our own. It's about showing the Father's holy, loving character. How is that even done? Well, it's only by a new birth. Not just starting over or turning over a new leaf by our own efforts, but by being given that completely new character and desire to please God that we can only have when we turn our lives over to Jesus. Born of the Spirit, Jesus calls it in John's Gospel. And when we come to Jesus, we inherit his nature. You know, it's a bit like genetics. I look like my dad, and my sons look like me, poor things. That's because I'm their dad. It's the same spiritually. And when we come to Jesus, we're adopted into his family and we inherit his character and we begin to exhibit God's nature by behaving as his mature sons and daughters. We start to look like our Heavenly Father. Then we will be children of the Most High, says Jesus. And when we follow Jesus now as regenerated people, his sons and daughters, that Christ-like behaviour is not a bunch of stagnant rules which are a complete chore to keep, but rather developing a God-like character as we live the life God wants us to in fellowship with him, out of gratitude for what he's done. With his death, the principal way of forgiveness and that spiritual birth. And so it's intensely practical. We have a lifetime to grow and develop this character. And it's beautifully summarised in verse 31. Can you see it? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Often when I was a school teacher, I would hear fellow school teachers chastising kids and saying, "Would you do that? Would you like that done to you? Then don't do it to others." That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus says is positive, not negative. Do the things you would like and love to be done to you and go. Go and do it to others. That's the Jesus way. And we've seen that in bucket loads over the past week or so. People checking on their neighbours, people in WhatsApp groups in their streets, supporting each other. People from church texting me and phoning me to ask how I am and how Helen is. And I heard of an elder member of our congregation, she's 99, phoning up others to check on them to see if they are okay. But this kind of behaviour should be the defining mark of those who call themselves Christian, Jesus followers, God's children. It's not just moral behaviour, as we've already said. There's plenty of moral atheists out there. Christians are not the only ones to occupy the moral ground. But it's because we've been pulled out of the pit. We've been rescued from our own selfishness by Jesus. We're changed and renewed people, his sons and his daughters, saved for a reason. So have you experienced this new life for yourself? Have you turned to Jesus? Perhaps you're scared by what may happen. Perhaps you feel vulnerable, I know I do. Just enjoying something as simple as going for a walk has now become a bit more challenging as we cross to the other side and avoid each other. Jesus can restore a sense of perspective on life. And he's promised to walk with us through the craziness of this life. And as we walk with him, he will enable us to become the kind of people he wants us to be. And you know what? This is the truth. He gives us a peace and satisfaction nothing and no one else can give in the midst of our difficulties. So let's commit to living our lives for our God and continue to show his characteristics as he bears fruit in our lives and as we show the kind of love to others that our nation needs to see at such a time as this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've saved us. Thank you that you've pulled us out from the pit, that you've renewed our hearts and minds when we turned to you. Father, please continue that renewing process. Refine us and help us to show the kind of love that Jesus wants us to show to others as we live in gratitude to him. In Jesus' name, amen.